Welcome to You've Got This with Sarah Hammaker, a podcast to encourage and equip moms along their parenting journey. Join Sarah each week as she interviews dads and moms like you and discusses the joys, challenges, and rewards of raising kids.
Hi, and welcome to this week's You've Got This. I'm your host, Sarah Hammaker, and I'm so glad you joined me. Today I have with me Brian Weisfeld. He has built a number of billion-dollar companies, including IMAX Corporation and Coupons.com, and he's also the founder and chief squad officer of the Startup Squad, which is designed to help girls reach their potential. And with two girls of my own, I love anything that helps girls. Of course, I have two boys, so I love anything that helps kids in general. So welcome to my show, Brian.
Thanks for having me, Sarah. Yeah, it sounds like you've got the boys and the girls covered, so we'll talk about them both.
Yes, we do. But I do love that you have something, you know, for girls, because I often think that, you know, not every girl has that inner drive to want to reach her full potential, and programs like yours seem like a good way to kind of give them a little glimpse into something they could be. If they might, because, you know, I think some need a little extra push. Do you found that to be true with your own daughters?
Well, I guess a couple of things. One is, so we describe ourselves as girl-targeted and boy-inclusive. We were trying to reach all kids, but we were certainly girl-targeted. That's our primary demographic. Mm. And, I just think that there are, that right now our society is still pushing boys more towards some of those entrepreneurial aspects and other things than there are girls. It's certainly getting a lot better, but even this, just recently, Forbes magazine did a story called 8 Under 18, and it was a story of 8 kids who are doing great things during the coronavirus pandemic to sort of help out. And of the 8 kids, all 8 were boys, but one of the 8 worked with his sister. And the worst part is the byline on that story was written by one of the associate editors of Forbes Women.
Yes.
And so part of it is just making sure that girls have role models out there and they can see examples of women doing great things and girls doing great things, and that gives them the motivation and the drive to want to do great things themselves.
Yeah, it's funny. When I was a kid, I had a neighborhood paper out.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was great. And I remember one of my customers, I had to go around and knock on their doors and collect every month. And one of my customers, she said it a million times, Brian. She's like, I always tell everyone that my paper boy is a girl. She was so proud of the fact that a girl was doing what traditionally was, you know, only boys did.
I
think every time I collected, she told me that story, and she always gave me a nice tip. She was just really thrilled that this was what I was doing, and that's always stuck with me, because I was like, wow, you know, even girls, young, you know, can make a difference in someone's life. She's, you know, this woman was literally telling all her friends her paper boy was a girl, and how cool that was, and how, you know, empowering she found that. And I didn't, until I was a grown-up and thinking about my own kids and their little side jobs and stuff, it didn't strike me at how unusual that was and how kind of neat it was in the whole scheme of things. So, a little personal
story. Yeah, it's
story.
Interesting. No, it's interesting because, you know, to your point about you didn't realize how unique it was, you know, there's a lot of different parenting advice, and some parents say, you know, don't tell girls you can grow up to be anything you want to be. Because girls, you know, up to a certain age, are like, well, yeah, of course. Why couldn't I be?
Yeah.
And so it's interesting. You had no idea that, you know, you were the only girl doing it. And so you're like, why is this a big deal?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, my mom tells a story. She had to go down to, I really wanted one. I was 12. She went down to our local paper and said, you know, she wants a rat. Well, we don't give them to girls. And we certainly don't give them to girls that young. And mom was like, you know, she advocated for me, you know, to get this paper route. And I had it from 12 until I was 17. So that was a lot of years slinging papers. and the hot Virginia sun. Oh my goodness.
It's awesome, and also I wouldn't be surprised if then you blazed the trail the next time someone came in and said they want to sign up my girl. They were like, oh yeah, I guess we learned that girls can do this as well. So you probably set a trend and had a lot of other girls following in your footsteps.
I hope so, and I'm kind of disappointed now that that these kind of jobs are not available to kids anymore.
Yeah.
The person who brings our Washington Post is an adult. This is like a job for them. It's kind of sad in a way that they can't do these. And, my other kids have, tried to do things like, they've done some babysitting and some pet sitting. And, some of them have been a little successful, but most of the time, it's funny how people prefer to go with, companies as opposed to hiring the neighbor kid, of either gender. And I just don't know if you found that to be true in California, or is this something you may be seeing across the United States? Are there still pockets where people like to hire kids to do, take care of the cat, weed in the garden, mow your grass? There seems to be professionalized a lot of these great opportunities for kids to get started.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it's a lot of it is community-based, different communities acting different ways. But I think, certainly now there's a great opportunity for a lot of kids to start to do that, those sort of things in their community, and also to launch what we call stuck-at-home startups.
Oh, okay.
The summer camps and the usual summer activities are going to be a lot different this year. And so what we try to do is encourage kids that this is a great time to actually start a business. Spend your summer starting a business. You'll learn a tremendous amount, and it's a great way to spend the summer.
So, what kind of businesses are you, are you encouraging or that you've seen kids do?
So, there's a few different things, and what we try to do is we try to point kids towards doing things related to their passions.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you're passionate about, cooking and baking, then starting a cooking or baking business is probably going to be a great opportunity for you. While right now, it's probably not the best time for a lemonade stand or to start a bake sale, what we say is what you can do is you can start to build your reputation and your customer base. So let's assume you make great chocolate chip cookies and you're going to start a chocolate chip cookie business. Well, right now is a great time where you can have your parents open up a social media account for you, Instagram or YouTube, whatever it happens to be, and start to post videos of yourself cooking or review other people's cookie recipes, or just start to create a following and build an expertise for yourself around cookies. And then when it's time, you can start selling them. Now all of a sudden you've got a built-in customer base. Another one that is a great one right now is a lot of people obviously are doing a lot of spring cleaning.
Right.
Getting rid of a lot of things they don't need, especially since they're stuck at home and looking at that, may as well clean out that closet today. So for kids, reach out to friends, family, neighbors and say, hey, do you have anything that you want to get rid of that you want to sell? Then same thing, have the parents open up an eBay account. And then all you have to do is have the kids reach out to their neighbor and say, hey, just send me a picture of whatever you want to sell. Then they can go online, post it online, sell it on eBay, and then just respond back to the neighbor, hey, here's the person that bought your product, mail it to them, and pay me a commission or pay me a flat fee. The kid never has to leave the house, doesn't have to take possession of the property, of the whatever's being sold, doesn't have to go to the mail, go to the post office. Very simple business and a way you can help out in your neighbors and friends right now.
Yeah, those are some really great ideas, Brian. But sometimes, kids fail. I mean, adults fail. And that's kind of our loose topic for today, and how to encourage our kids to fail. I mean, sometimes you put an item on eBay and it just doesn't sell.
Absolutely. And whenever you open up a lemonade stand, you probably have more people saying no to you than you do say yes. And that's part of the wonderful thing about entrepreneurship is it gets kids comfortable with risk and failure. Because as you said, we all fail. Everybody fails. And I do a lot of speaking to kids and school groups and libraries and those sorts of things. And one of the things that I do with them is I give them examples of famous people that failed.
Mm.
Kids see these famous people and they're like, oh my God, they must have had it easy. They probably never struggled. And I tell them that when Beyonce was 9 years old, she was on Star Search and Lost, the talent show. And Michael Jordan got cut from his high school basketball team. And you know, Bill Gates from Microsoft, his first company went under. And so sharing those stories is a great way to get kids comfortable with failure and comfortable with taking risk, because as you said, everyone's going to fail in life. So better to start to get comfortable with how do you deal with failure at a young age than dealing with failure for the first time when you're an adult and all of a sudden something fails and you have no idea how to do it because you've been so protected that you've never had the opportunity to fail before.
So do you find that, you know, there's a lot of talk, at least in some of my children's schools, in the elementary school, which I'm glad they start in elementary, about the fixed and growth mindsets.
Yeah.
And how, you know, the growth mindset is a little easier to handle that failure because you think, oh, I can do better next time. Well, what about the kids who have those fixed mindset that see a failure as, you know, kind of an indictment of who they are? How do we, do you have any advice or tips on how we can help our kids separate the failure from who they are as a person? Because, you know, I mean, I have one in my household who really struggles with that. This child has a hard time when they fail to kind of separate that, you know, the act of failing from who they are as a person.
Yeah, and I think so part of that is just understanding that, you know, if a kid feels like they're the only one that fails, that's definitely going to make it harder for them. Mm. And so sharing stories of not only how their siblings are failing, but how you as a parent have failed in your life.
Okay.
And so there's a famous story, Sarah Blakely, who's the founder of Spanx, used to tells the story that when she grew up, her father used to go around the dinner table and ask all the kids, what did they fail at this week?
Mm.
And if they failed at something, they would get a high five. And if they hadn't, he would get disappointed in them. Because if you're not failing, you're not pushing yourself beyond your boundaries, and you're not trying to grow. And so for the kids that take that failure personally, share more stories about how you're failing in your life. Or, oh, man, boy, I really messed something up today.
Yeah.
And also let them know, you know, find stories of their famous people that failed. If they've got a sports person or a celebrity or a politician or whoever it is that they're looking up to, go back, do a little digging and find a story from their childhood or their life where they failed and share it with them so they realize that it happens to everyone.
Oh, that's great. So so can you share one of your failures, Brian, for our audience?
Yeah.
While
yeah.
we're on that so subject.
Yeah, so my background was I used to help entrepreneurs scale and build their businesses, but I was inspired by my daughter to write the Startup Squad book series to get kids interested in entrepreneurship. And I'm not a writer, I'm a business guy. And so I spent 4 years learning how to write. And it was the hardest and most humbling thing I've done in my entire life. And when I do speak to kids and I share my story, I show them copies of the rejection letters that I got from agents and from publishers. And I share the story of the one agent that rejected me twice. She rejected me when I reached out to her at one point, and then I sent her a new manuscript 6 months later, and she rejected me again. but the harshest rejection I ever received was I had submitted the first 10 pages of my manuscript for a critique from an editor at a publishing house, and she was did not hold anything back in her critique. And at one point in referencing the dialogue a scene of dialogue that I had written between the two sixth grade characters, she basically said to me, I find it hard to believe that you have children yourself.
Oh, ouch.
And so, yeah, so that definitely hurt. But what I was able to do and what I encourage kids and other people to do was peel back the emotion and hear what the person is saying. In that case, she was saying the dialogue was unrealistic. It didn't sound like kids. And so I went out and I took a dialogue writing class and I read books about dialogue to improve my dialogue. And I just started also listening to kids' conversations more. Because that she wasn't, you know, that's essentially what she was saying. She was saying it very directly, but that's what she was telling me.
Yeah. And I think that it's, you know, and it's hard because I know that hurt, you know, as a writer myself.
Oh, yeah.
You know, those things hurt, and writing is one of those, like any of the art kind of things. It's a very personal thing to do. And so it does hurt, but it is good when we can take that step back. And, you know, that's what I encourage my kids to do when they fail or they got, you know, a piece of criticism about something they did from a teacher or a friend, and to say, take a step back and say, is there any truth in this? You know, and it's okay to feel a little hurt at that moment, but it's also good, you know, don't wallow in it, but do take that step back and go, is there any truth in this? Does my dialogue really sound like two middle-aged people talking instead of two sixth graders, you know, yeah, for example?
Right. And I talk a lot about the entrepreneurial mindset. And the goal here with the Startup Squad book series is not that every kid should grow up to become an entrepreneur, but just that the experience of entrepreneurship teaches kids these incredible life lessons, and they'll develop this entrepreneurial mindset, which has the growth mindset, and it has a comfort with risk, and it has a comfort with failure, and an ability to see opportunities instead of problems. And so one of the things that I say to them is, entrepreneurs don't say win some, lose some. Entrepreneurs say win some, learn some. Because they know that even if they fail, they're going to learn something that's going to help them succeed the next time. So, you know, I failed miserably when I submitted those first 10 pages to that editor. But she, in that failure, she told me what I needed to work on. And so had I not submitted to her, I would not have known that I had this issue with my dialogue. And that was an area where I had to focus. So that's so important for kids to think, win some, learn some. All right, yes, you failed and you got a bad, you know, a grade on something and the teacher gave you some bad feedback. But right, what are they hearing? What are you hearing? What are they actually saying? And how do you make it better the next time?
Yeah, and the thing is that be grateful that they actually told you what was wrong.
Yeah, so a funny story is I actually bumped into that same editor about 4 years later. And I said to her, I introduced myself to her, and I said, you know, hey, I just wanted to say thank you. And she said, for what? And I said, well, you gave me a very direct critique, you know, 4 years ago. And she said, oh my God, what did I say? And I told her what she said. And she said, oh, I did not say that. And I said, yeah, you did. And I said, but remember, I'm saying thank you. And she said, why are you thanking me? And I said, because it was because you were so direct, it was a kick in the pants that I needed.
Mm-hmm.
Had you had said to me, I don't think the dialogue is that realistic, I may have brushed it off. But you were so direct that it made it clear that that was a big problem, that it's something that I had to work on. And she said to me, so what's the latest? And I said, well, I've got a 3-book deal from Macmillan, and my first book comes out in 6 months. And she gave me a high five. Like, she was so excited for me.
Yeah.
But it was really interesting running into her again.
Yeah, I think that for those of us who sometimes need to give that criticism, you know, we can... There's a good way to do it, and maybe not try not to be so harsh, but we're not doing anyone any favors when we don't tell them the truth.
Completely agree.
And not that we have to tell them the truth about everything. There is something to be said with, you know, let's be kind. But when we're talking about how to help them improve their business or their, you know, why am I not getting grass cutting, you know, clients? Well, and you know, one of my kids may ask me that one day, and I would want to be honest with them to kind of walk them through. Well, what, you know, tell me the problem. Let's figure this out. But still, just point out, you know, you really need to. You're mumbling when you talk to grown-ups. They can't understand you. Well, that's harsh to hear. I had to tell that to one of my kids. I said, you got to speak up. If you want a job, you have to speak up. And just that kind of, they're like, Mom, I said, I know. I don't mean to be harsh, but this is the reality. And I think when we can do that in a loving yet firm way with our kids, that can really help them to make those corrections and to be better at whatever it is they're struggling to be better at.
I completely agree, and I think you know one of the things that I've learned both as a business executive and also as a writer is they both share the same suggestions as to how to deliver a critique or negative news. You sort of start with the good, sandwich it with the not so good, and then end on the high note as well. And so, but I completely agree. What the lesson of hey, you've got to speak up when you speak to adults. That's a life lesson.
Yeah.
And so, not only are you helping them in their business, but right now, but you're helping them through life. They're gonna the rest of their work life and even beyond then is going to be speaking to people that are older than them or in a higher position than them. And so understanding that is a life lesson. And that's the thing that why I feel so strongly about kids getting involved in entrepreneurship is because you do learn those life lessons. And I've seen it with my own daughter, how, she was a shy 8-year-old who didn't really know how to sell Girl Scout cookies. And now, 2 days ago, she was speaking to our town board meeting about something that she felt really passionate about. And that's the power of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, and just kind of helping our kids, to take those risks when they're kids. Because let's just face it, selling cookies is a pretty low stakes kind of a thing.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, no, and this is the time to fail and learn how to fail and learn how to take risks. Now's the time to do it. I know successful business people who have a great idea for a startup or a new company, but they're not comfortable taking that risk because they never developed that risk gene I don't want to call it a gene, but that sort of risk tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is something you can develop and it is something you're comfortable with. And as you said, now's the best time to do it when the stakes are incredibly low.
Yeah, and this is also why we're big fans of not helping our kids with their homework and stuff, in school projects. I mean, we're there if they have a question, but, I am not, going to be making clay animals for my second grader kind of thing. Because this is low stakes, they need to figure it out. They need to know. And they, like you said, like we were talking about earlier, they learn from failure, even for school projects. And I'm sorry, a second grader not doing well on their diorama is not going to derail their academic career. But they may learn a lot of life lessons like, hey, I should have started earlier. I really needed to think this thing through a little bit more because my little scribbles are just not going to cut it. And, they've learned a lot of lessons, and the more hands-off we can be at the younger ages, the more they'll learn to take that ownership of whatever part of their life we're talking about, and the more that they'll be stepping up as the stakes get higher.
Yeah, I sort of keep in my mind, my job as a parent is to raise someone as a self-sufficient adult. And that's a lot of what I try to do. And I've heard people say that when the child is first born, you're making every decision for the child. But by the time they leave the house, they should be making all the decisions themselves. And so managing that transition and having them feel their way and try new things and fail at new things and learn how to be self-sufficient, I think is probably the most important job we have as parents.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we're almost out of time today. Is there because I would love to continue that conversation, continue talking about that, Brian. But is there anything else about encouraging our kids to fail, risk management, that you would like to get in before we have to wrap things up?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is to have kids realize that everyone fails, and they look up to parents with high regard. And so sharing your failures and making them realize that it's a part of life is so important. And so if I had one recommendation, I would say when you're sitting around the dinner table tonight, tell your kids something that you failed at and expect for them to share something with you. And if they don't, say, all right, hey, by next week, I want to have this conversation again, and I want to hear something that you failed at in the last week.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for being on my show, Brian.
My pleasure. Thanks for the discussion.
You've been listening to You've Got This. I'm your host, Sarah Hammerker, and I'm so glad you joined me today. I've been talking with Brian Weisfield. He is the founder and chief squad officer of the Startup Squad, and you can find out how to connect with him with the notes to this podcast. I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast of You've Got This with Sarah Hammerker. Sign up to receive notification of new podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerker.com. Until next time, remember, parenting might be hard sometimes, but don't worry, you've got this.